Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. Hallelujah. You know, over the past couple of days, we've been discussing the seven deadly, D-E-B-T-L-Y, sins. Today is day three, and we're going to continue. But first, a brief review. Number one, my background, circumstances, and surroundings determine my financial destiny. It's not true. Here are seven reasons why your background, circumstances, and surroundings do not determine your financial destiny. First, you're not on a fixed income. Second, eliminate the poverty mentality. Third, gain the victory over the victim complex. Fourth, stop making negative confessions. Fifth, stop looking to them and begin looking to him. Sixth, don't insult God by denying his word with the words of your mouth. And seventh, be careful about whom you associate with.
All good ways to get out of that. Number two, I can't afford to tithe and give offerings. James 4:17 in the Classic Amplified says, "So any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin." If God tells us to give tithes and offerings, which he does in Malachi 3, then to not tithe and give offerings becomes a deadly sin. When we tithe, the windows of heaven open over us. When we don't tithe, they remain closed. So why are the windows of heaven closed until we tithe? To keep thieves out. Malachi 3:8 says, Classic Amplified, "Will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me, but you say, in what way have we robbed or defrauded you? You have withheld your tithes and offerings." When you rob someone, means you steal from them. And the Ten Commandments tell us in the middle of it, one of the Ten Commandments says, do not steal.
That's right. And continuing our review, number three, it's too good a bargain to pass up. If you can't afford it, it's not a bargain. It's definitely a deadly sin to spend money you don't have on a bargain you either don't need or need at the moment. Proverbs 21:20, the Living Bible. The wise man gives for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. There will always be a bargain. In the history of the universe, one bargain is always replaced by another.
Number four, living paycheck to Prozac. If memory serves us correctly, and we know it does.
Yes.
My husband was teaching at a debt-free rally, as we mentioned with our good friends Randy and Laurel in the audience, when the Lord told him, "Teach my children how to stop living from paycheck to Prozac."
We've spoken that
message all over the world. And regardless, all the wisdom comes from God. But speaking of godly wisdom, 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 through 11, Classic Amplified tells us this. "But those who crave to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish, useless, godless, and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction and miserable perishing. For the love of money is a root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental pains." Notice it says the love of money, not the possession of money. So what does the world recommend for those with acute mental pangs? They Prozac, right? When the pressures of life become more than people can tolerate, what does a doctor recommend? Prozac, relax with Prozac. So when the money continually runs out before the end of the month, people look for mental relief. And the biggest thing that people are saddled with is, recommended, is Prozac.
That's it.
You know, with families in the U.S., most all of them are on a two paycheck. Well, they're two paychecks away from a financial disaster.
True.
The average mom who has to work all the time only spends about 40 minutes a week playing with her children. If a person is rooted and grounded in the Word, they're not going to look for emotional relief with something like Prozac. Psalm 119:143, New Living Translation says, "As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands."
I love that verse.
Mm. The Word will not eliminate stress from attacking you, but it will destroy it if we follow what the Word says. 1 Thessalonians 3:7, Classic Amplified, is another stress reliever. It says, "Brethren, for this reason, in spite of all our stress and crushing difficulties, we have been filled with comfort and cheer about you because of your faith, the leaning of your whole personality on God in complete trust and confidence." Here are seven ways, more effective than Prozac, for sure, in dealing with stress on a personal level. First, spend more time in the Word and in God's presence. We realize you may, you know, have wanted us to say, we'll give you a bottle with a genie in it. But the point of it is if you can get with the Lord in the first thing when you get up, let me assure you, having more money in and of itself doesn't solve a problem, but time with God will. And every answer to every question about stress is found in God's Word if we stay long enough to find it. Second, communicate without playing the blame game. Talk to your spouse, if you have one, or your children about what's going on. Make sure that everyone understands the perspective. The most important thing is not fixing blame, but fixing the problem. It's important to just forget about mistakes from the past. Start clean, start clear. Third, exercise will help you free your mind and liberate your body. When you exercise, you release endorphins, which refreshes and renews your body and keeps it fit, by the way. Fourth, eat properly. Financial stress, unfortunately, can bring out the worst eating habits in people. People tend to overeat or binge on something that they really ought not to be putting in their body to make themselves feel better. Either that or they don't eat. They go for days without eating. Either extreme is not conducive to good health. And then discipline yourself to eat at regular times. And when you do, eat healthy, and you won't be starved and fill yourself with bad stuff. Fifth, sleep right. During financial stress, people have trouble sleeping, and or else they sleep too much. Either option is not good there either. If you have trouble going to sleep, you need to find what relaxes you, listening to soothing instrumental music or reading a book that makes you sleepy. We found that praying for people in bed, oh, that puts you to sleep faster than anything because the devil just hates it. So the point is, that's better than an artificial sleep aid. Use only natural ones if you have to go to that. And sixth, guard your heart. During times of financial stress, the enemy really will try to, you know, place in your routine a sympathetic ear from someone other than your spouse. Don't fall into that trap. Over the years, millions of people, and I'm talking good people, Christians, have strayed into something they did not intend in the beginning because of a small compromise with evil. Don't think that this is just a small compromise. It's a start of something worse. Seek counseling if you need to. And seventh, shake up your routine. Develop a new, inexpensive hobby. Do something that you wouldn't normally do. Go for a walk with your spouse. You know, spend time sitting, go to the lake, sit on the hood of your car and watch the sun go down. Talk about life, not your current financial stress.
Number five, failure to communicate. When I see, hear, or write the phrase failure to communicate, I'm reminded of the warden in the Paul Newman movie, Cool Hand Luke, who is always saying, "What we have here is a failure to communicate." A failure to communicate with your creditors when you're in debt is a costly mistake. And let me tell you, the most dangerous game a person can play in marriage or any other relationship is the blame game, where nobody wins, everybody loses, and you never solve the problem. The fact that you're broke, unsuccessful, and don't know which way to turn, well, it's not your mama's fault, it's not your daddy's fault, it's not your school teacher's fault, it's not your employer's fault, it's not your spouse's fault. If you hadn't bought that new truck, we wouldn't be in this mess. If you hadn't gone overboard and buying Christmas gifts for every single member of your family, we'd be able to pay off this credit card. I told you we couldn't afford this, but no, you didn't listen. Won't you ever learn buying the kids everything they want will not buy their love? If you'd have gotten that raise that when you put in for that promotion like I told you, we wouldn't be having this problem right now. It's not my fault. It's yours. If you're saying any of that kind of stuff, stop it. Even if it is somebody else's fault, get over it. Proverbs 17:9, New International Version says, "He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." Think about that. Wow. Laying the blame for financial mistakes on each other solves nothing. Don't fix the blame. Fix the problem. Proverbs 12:15, and the New Living Translation. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. A failure to communicate while playing the blame game will prevent you from making progress. Think about Matthew 18:19, Classic Amplified. Let it become a reality in your life. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything, and everything that they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. Think about that. Wow. It'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. Mm-mm. Glory to God and hallelujah.
And hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. We'll finish this tomorrow.
Should be able to.
We'll finish it tomorrow. It's been a lot of great stuff in the past 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's things to think about.
Principles we need to get down in us.
That's it.
All right.
If you're blessed by the teaching and the ministry, go to haroldherring.com. Click the button that says Sow a Seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.